Well, it's good to be back preaching again. Most of you know that I was sick last week. It was really good that we had a missionary that just happened to be here, and we just had him for Sunday school, so I called him up Saturday night. Would you be willing to preach for me on Sunday? And of course, yes, he was glad to do that, so I'm thankful I didn't want to put it on Pastor Gary last minute, so God was good to us. Well, 2 weeks ago, last time we were together, we saw Joseph being tempted day after day by Mrs. Potiphar, yet he steadfastly refused to give in to her. He even had to flee, leaving his garment in her hand, and get out of the house to maintain his purity. Today we're going to see what happens after that. Joseph is falsely accused and unjustly sent to the prison house. However, even when treated so unjustly, God stood by him. God blessed him, and God had a plan for his life. I'd like to pick up the story in Genesis chapter 39, reading from verse 19 to 23. So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Let's pray. Father, today the book is open, and I pray that you would make our hearts open, because we need to hear from heaven. We need your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. I pray that, Father, if it's a word of comfort, a word of encouragement, or even a word of rebuke or chastening, I pray that we would be ready, hearing what you would say. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Well, let's see this story here. First of all, we notice that Joseph is falsely accused in verses 14 to 19. Potiphar's wife made up this wicked lie. Now, last time we were together, we peeked into the character of this very loose woman. Joseph refused her, and because he refused her, she was so angry from being turned down that her lust turned into rage, and her rage turned into revenge. She made up a wicked lie that Joseph tried to force himself on her, which was completely a lie. So she got even, try to get even with Joseph for his refusal. You know, this is beginning to sound like an episode of Dateline as you get into the sordid details of the story, where her evil heart exploded as she was exposed to the holy walk of this man of God. You know, the influence of a godly life will either do one of two things. The people around you will either melt their hearts or harden their hearts, because like the sun, it can melt ice, but it can harden clay. It depends on what you're made of. And this woman was hardened. She became angry. And you notice that sometimes people around you, no matter how kind you are, how much you display Christ-likeness, they're just going to be mean. They're going to be nasty. They're going to continue on in their unsaved way. They'll harden themselves even more. Well, we see that Joseph experienced the unbelievable pain of a false accusation. Imagine that. Somebody making up a story, just a complete lie about you, saying that you did such and such, and you had no thinking about doing anything evil, let alone doing anything wrong. I can imagine where Joseph was. Now, the scriptures does not teach us that he complained to God, saying, "Well, if that's how you treat your faithful people, Lord, I can't understand it." thrown into a pit, sold as a slave, and now I'm sent to prison on false accusation. But we don't hear any complaints from Joseph. He is silent. We don't hear him blame God for what happened to him. But it must have been painful to have his pure, innocent character derided like this. A quote from Spurgeon says, "He felt it a cruel thing to be under such slander and to suffer for his innocence. A young man so pure, so chaste, must have felt it to be sharper than a whip of scorpions to be accused as he was. Yet as he sat down in the gloom of his cell, the Lord was with him. He experienced the awful pain, but he felt the overwhelming presence of God with him." No matter what the pain, he knew that the Lord was with him. Joseph is an undeserving, mistreated victim here. He resisted temptation. He stood for righteousness and suffered for someone else's sin. We know someone else who perfectly resisted all temptation, who stood for righteousness, was stripped of his garment, and then punished for the sins of others. And his name is Jesus, the hope of all who fail under temptation. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:18 about the Lord, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." And Joseph is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, I want to tell you, Jesus suffered unjustly. He was mistreated. He was lied about by so many of people in the trials. He was abused. He was hit. He was mistreated. He suffered death on the cross. Why? For his own sins? No, for our sins. He died for the sins of others. Beautiful picture of Christ here. Well, Joseph was falsely accused, and then he was placed in prison. Verse 20. "Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison." Now, we mentioned last week, or last time we were together, that Potiphar might not have been fully believing the wife's story, but he had to save face. So usually somebody trying to rape your wife, you'd have them killed, executed. But maybe he was thinking the whole story, well, let's just throw Joseph into prison. It's my understanding that he was put into a dungeon in irons and fetters. You say, well, where do you see it here? You don't see it in this passage, but Psalm 105, verses 17 and 19, the psalmist is giving the history of Joseph in verse 17. "He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him." So we see from the psalmist that sometime during Joseph's life, he was put into fetters and irons. His feet were put in there. And my understanding is that probably when he was first thrown in to this prison. Because another verse of scripture, Genesis 40, verse 15, says this, "For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon." So my understanding is when Potiphar first threw him into jail, he was put into the dungeon with his feet stuck in the stocks or the fetters. Perhaps it was his first stop in the prison system. He was confined. He was in irons. He was in a pit. You ever been in the pit? Maybe not like a prison or anything like that. Maybe you've been in the pit of depression. You've been there when you feel like the walls are caving down in you. Maybe the pit of addiction. Maybe the pit of your own sin or debilitating disease or physical affliction. Things happen to even God's people where we're in this pit. Even though Joseph found himself in this pit, God never forgets his precious pit people. He was there with Joseph. He was put where the king's prisoners were held. God moved him into a certain place where he would meet two of the king's prisoners. God is always behind the scenes, arranging the events, putting us in the place to meet certain people. Have you experienced that? You know, if this were a dance, we would say that God is a divine choreographer. He arranges the movements. He sets up people. He puts this person in your life to give you this word. Or he allows certain things to happen that you would not have normally experienced to meet this individual so that you can get help from this individual. And Joseph had no idea why he was in the king's prisoner, why these prisoners, the butler and the baker, and we'll get to them next week, why they were there. But God is behind the scenes arranging and organizing the events in your life even when you have no clue. Isn't that something, that our Father cares enough to allow you to go through things to accomplish his will in your life for his glory and for our ultimate good, Romans 8:28. Well, we know also his faithfulness did not seem to be rewarded. Joseph could have been questioning God. He could have wondered, Lord, I'm praying here. Did you put me on hold? Don't you love to be put on hold when you're trying to call a company and you have this machine that says, just a moment, let me put you on. No, I want to talk to a representative. And before it's out of your mouth, they put you on hold and this voice comes, we are glad to serve you, but you are next in line and we will call you. It'll be in 24 hours plus 3 minutes. I don't know if you've gotten to those. It's so frustrating to be put on hold. And sometimes we feel like that with our prayers, don't we? God, don't you hear? I've been praying and I've been asking, and Joseph could have felt the same way. Back into prison again. But Joseph doesn't blame God. Doesn't blame God. I've met a lot of people in my life who maybe are not Christians, but you know, it's amazing. They don't talk about God. They don't have any relationship to God till something bad happens. And then they blame God for it. Isn't that something? They blame God for death. They blame God for cancer. They blame God for a birth defect or whatever. When boxer Ray Boom Boom Mancini, I guess that is a real person, killed a Korean boxer in a match, the athlete said in a press conference later, "Sometimes I wonder why God does the things he does." In a letter to a Christian family therapist, a young woman told of dating a man and becoming pregnant. She wanted to know why God allowed this to happen to her. In her official confession, when South Carolina mother Susan Smith pushed her two sons into a lake to drown, she said that as she did it, she went running after the car as it sped down the ramp, screaming, oh God, no, why did you let this happen? What exactly was the role of God when a guy was pummeling his opponent, or a teenager abandoning her virtue, or a mother drowning her children? God lets us choose. We have no right blaming him for any of the evil and things that happen in life. Joseph doesn't blame God as he sat alone in the dungeon. Falsely accused, sent to prison, now God shows up. Joseph was once again blessed, verses 21 to 23. Notice what it says in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Sometimes we are in the middle of all of those circumstances, but the Lord was with him. Once again, we hear those words. Look at verse 2 of chapter 39. The Lord was with Joseph. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. This is the theme in Joseph's life. No matter what trouble and trauma that he had to go through, he went through it not by himself alone. The Lord's presence was with him. I like to study the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, we read of Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, had made a rule. Everybody has to bow down to this idol of gold. And of course, at the sound of the trumpet and sound of all the musical instruments, everyone bowed down except the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know what happened to them? They were thrown into a fiery furnace that was heated hotter than it's ever been. And as they were in there, they didn't even have the smell of smoke. They did not burn. And you know why they didn't burn? The fourth man in the fire was our Lord, who was with them in the fire. It makes all the difference. The presence of the Lord in your life, in the fiery trials, He'll get you through them. I think of the Apostle Paul, who was on the way to Rome, being arrested. He was on the on the sea, Mediterranean Sea, in Acts chapter 27. And a storm came up on that sea and tossed that ship. And the ship was starting to break apart. All of the sailors were throwing over the tackling of the navigation equipment of the ship. They threw away the tons of grain that they had there that was going to a new port. And they hadn't seen the sun in days and days. And the sailors were thinking we're all going to die. But Paul stands up in Acts 27:20. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we should be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and have not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong, whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar.'" What Paul was saying, in the middle of that storm, the Lord sent an angel to stand right by him. In the dungeon, God showed Joseph mercy. Perhaps got him out of that dungeon and gave him a position in the prison with more freedom. But there's a second blessing that God gave to Joseph in that prison. God gave him favor with the keeper. How is Joseph getting all this special treatment? God is the one who caused Potiphar and now the prison keeper, or the warden, you might say, to look with favor on Joseph. That's why. Not because he was such a good servant, I'm sure he was, and he did everything he was supposed to, but you can do everything you're supposed to and still not. But God was the one who gave him favor with the warden of that prison. Perhaps God is going to show you favor. Who do you need favor with? A doctor? Complicated situation in your life? You can pray and God can show you favor and His privilege in your life. But Joseph is promoted again. Verse 22, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. Another promotion. Seems like every time God is promoting Joseph, God is allowing him to get to the position he needs to be. And he puts him, I don't know how you get promoted in prison. You know, maybe go from A block to B block or C block. Maybe you don't have to eat bread and water, but you can have a little bit of bread with some jelly on it. Or I don't know what the deal is. But he is promoted in prison and he's in charge of all the other prisoners. Now, the fourth blessing we see is that he is trusted and prospers. Notice what it says in verse 23. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. I don't know exactly how you prosper in prison. Maybe they were able to put out a record number of license plates that year, or maybe they were able to bust up more stones. But he was organizing and administrating in the prison, all of the prison, and everything was going well. The prisoners were happy, the guards were happy, the warden was happy because of skilled administration. You know, Joseph is going to need those skills later on in life, isn't he? And you just imagine how God prepared him. He was the administrator over Potiphar's household. He was the overseer of his whole lot, all of his livestock, all of his household goods, all of the field servants. Joseph learned administration, and now he's another step. He's learning administration of a prison. One day he's going to be the administrator of all of the land of Egypt under Pharaoh. All for 7 years of prosperity, 7 years of famine. He is going to save people's lives because of the skills that he learned as prison. You know, God teaches us things, and sometimes we are not aware of what he is doing. Maybe you're sick and you're going through something that you can't get over, but you're learning something through that sickness as well. You're learning how to have a relationship with God. You know, God never wastes anything like that. He is using this so that you can help somebody else down the line, just as God has taught you, you can teach others. Well, as we sum up the story of Joseph here in prison, I'd like to share with you four concluding applications. The first one is, enduring injustice puts us in good company with Jesus. He was mistreated. He was maligned. He suffered. And the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Philippians, said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You get to learn so many things from the scriptures about Jesus and walking with him daily, but you really get to know him when you suffer with him. The fellowship of his sufferings. Secondly, God will remove our crutches so we can learn to walk by faith. Maybe you've broken a hip or had a knee replacement, or maybe you've had something wrong with your foot and for a while you had to use a cane, a crutch, a walker, or a wheelchair. You know, if you're healing from that, well, the physical therapist or the doctor one day is going to say, okay, now it's time that you learn to walk on your own or you get better. We at church have a lot of people that are on various things. As a matter of fact, we have a special room in our church that has walkers and crutches and canes and wheelchairs. And I think there's even a potty chair back there or whatever you're going to need for a while because we rotate them. But we are not made to use those forever unless we have something that is not going to heal. God also helps us to grow with people around us, maybe a friend, maybe a beloved teacher, but sometimes he's going to remove those crutches so that we can learn to walk by faith. Joseph had no father looking over him. Joseph had no privileged coat. All of that was taken away, so he just had Jesus, and that was enough. Number three, God's mercy can appear in the darkest of places. I'm sure that dungeon was dark, abandoned by family, forgotten by everyone, but God shined the light in that by giving him his presence. The Lord was there. I don't know if you're going through a dark experience right now, maybe a family situation that's got you confused and you don't know what to do, maybe some kind of an illness that just won't go away, but God gives you light in that darkness. The hope of his presence is there. One more application. Even when we don't understand, God has a plan. Babbie Mason sings the song, Trust His Heart. All things work for the good, though sometimes we can't see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts in two sometimes blind us to the truth. Our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just can't see Him, remember He's still on the throne. God's too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. God brought my wife and I through this difficult thing with her physical problems. She's been battling stomach issues for years, and she was getting very discouraged. And the previous surgeon we saw didn't want to do the surgery, and said if we do it, it's going to be 4 to 5 hour surgery, and you might not make it through. So she was really discouraged until God, we found another surgeon, and this surgeon said, I will do my best. You still might not make it through. So when I kissed her and said goodbye, I didn't know if I was going to see her again. I really didn't. But 45 minutes later, she came through. I remember going up to the hospital room and seeing her sitting there, eating ice chips in a cup, and saying, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God had a plan. God had a plan, and He has a plan for you. Years ago, when I first started the ministry at 25 years old, I found a quote from R.T. Ketchum that has helped us so many times. Your Father is too good to be unkind and too wise to make a mistake. My friend, God has a plan for Joseph, and He has a plan for you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank You so much for organizing and choreographing Joseph's life, even when he did not know what was going on, even sitting there in prison wondering, You have a plan. And I know the same is true with Your people here, Your people that You love and You've saved by Your grace. Whatever they're going through this morning, You have a plan. Even when we can't see it, we need to trust You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we close.